Okay, welcome back to the Love Triangle, and we are on the back of our first Love Triangle derby match.
I believe that's what all the fans were calling it, stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, it was feisty in the stadium itself for the first half, really. But it was a good match, I think. I'm trying to take a few positives from it without sounding too
miserable.
Yeah, without sounding too pissed off. But we did better than I expected we would do to a degree. Because, let's face it, right? Let's be real. This is a really good Leeds team, isn't it?
It is, in terms of the way the team plays as a unit. I don't think under any other coach you would say it's an amazing squad in terms of individuals.
No.
But as a team unit, it's difficult for any other team to match it in this league.
Yeah. One of the things that struck me before kickoff, especially when I heard the lineups, was that this is definitely two sides that are at the opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to where they are as an actual team. Because you've got Huddersfield on one side who we've come down from the Premier League in a right mess, essentially. And we're still trying to piece together what we are and what we're meant to be now in the Championship. And you've got Leeds, on the other hand, who narrowly missed out on relegation last season and essentially still have that same team playing almost the same way as last season, maybe with a little bit more consistency this time around.
Yeah, it made me laugh when I saw the teams on Saturday and I was like, oh, Dave slagged off Mounier last time we did a podcast, he's playing. Dave slagged off Adejinai last time we did a podcast, he's playing. Dave was saying how good Brown was, he's not playing. How good O'Brien is, he's not playing. It was just like, I looked at the team and I was like, this doesn't look like the team that Dave was telling me was playing a couple of weeks ago. And then, Leeds had a couple missing. Obviously, Phillips was banned and then Cooper pulling out injured quite late on meant we weren't quite at full strength. And
I think that helped the game itself
make it a little
bit leveler.
Yeah.
Especially in the first half, you could see Leeds were struggling a little bit. Maybe without those two players in the team.
Yeah, I think the system they'd worked on all week with White covering for Phillips in midfield went out the window a bit when Cooper was missing, because had we kept White in midfield and then not had Cooper, we would have had a back four that went winger, fullback, fullback, winger.
Yeah.
With then a centre-back in front of him in midfield. And so I think Bielsa decided to put White back into defence and make it a back three. But I don't think that was with White sort of them with the license to take the ball out.
Right.
But that I don't think that was what they'd worked on for most of the week. So I think particularly in the first half, they struggled. We've Huddersfield putting them under a lot of pressure, to be fair to them. And I think Danny Cowley and Nicky got their game plan correct in terms of how to close Leeds down, how to cause Leeds problems, try and win the ball back quickly and get set pieces. I thought that worked really well for the first half, and I know I wasn't the only Leeds fan who was concerned about the way the game was trending in the first half, let's say.
Yeah.
I turned it on and I thought that you'd swap shirts.
Yeah. that's not even, some guys are like, they were bang up for it because it was their cup final and everything, but to be honest, it's been a lot like that in a lot of the home games this season.
A lot of blood and thunder.
Yeah, we really go at teams at the start of the match because the fans do, the crowd do tend to get behind them at home. They have got behind this team, and since the Cowleys came in, they have got well behind everything they've set out to do. So a lot of our games have started that way. Again, we just needed a bit of luck to get the ball in the back of the net because we had some good chances to score. Casilla made that save from Mounier where he probably didn't quite get it in the corner, but he made it look good to Casilla, really. But it was a half chance. But then again, just before that, I think Hernandez whipped in that corner and Leeds hit the post, didn't they?
Yeah, click, yeah.
Yeah, you can see Leeds have got a lot of routines for corners and set pieces.
They have. It's a bit of a running joke.
Or is it a myth?
Well, no, it's a bit of a running joke at the minute at Leeds because Bielsa was asked about set pieces a few weeks ago by Graham Smith, who's the new Yorkshire Evening Post reporter for this season. And he got asked about it. And then they scored from a short corner routine in the 4-0 win over Middlesbrough last week. Click scored a long-range goal, which you might have seen. It went viral a bit.
Yeah, top corner.
Yeah. And Smith asked him about it afterwards. He said, I saw what is that something you worked on the training ground? And Bielsa went, yeah, we've been taking your advice. And so then there was another one in this game. So it's now a bit of a running joke that Graham Smith is the new set piece wizard that's showing Bielsa.
So do you reckon? Because Hernandez does this thing, doesn't he, where he covers his chest like that, like it's a routine. But do you reckon he just does that on everyone anyway?
Well, I don't know. I think it is something they've been working on in recent weeks that they've not, because again, it was a long running joke for around the turn of the decade that Leeds never scored from corners.
Right.
And like for a long time, it was a running joke that even if they had scored since then, it was that they hadn't scored since Matt Heath scored from a header in 2007. And like every time they score from a corner now, it still comes up on Twitter saying, oh, that's the first time Leeds have scored from a corner since Matt Heath in 2007.
Yeah.
But because there was a period where it was that long, where that was like the stats that went around.
Yeah.
But now it does seem to be, certainly from the last 2 weeks, they're working on those corner routines.
It's a good, good thing to have. It's a good thing to have part of your arsenal, isn't it? Yeah. Because, I mean, you win corners and a lot of the time nothing comes of them. You know, it's a bit of a myth that, I think it was Jose Mourinho said this about the fact that the English fans get really excited when they win a corner, but the statistics of
it's
scoring
like 2%,
from one is,
yeah, I think so it was a stat I heard maybe a couple
anyone
years
think
ago.
It was a penalty sometimes when you get a corner. It's like, yeah, go on. And then, I mean, you know, we never do anything from them. A bit of you could see a well-drilled team from things like that, you know, obviously the corner routines and your counter-attacks. So, I mean, it could have gone either way in the first half, couldn't it? There was Grant had that shot headed over the crossbar by Ayling.
Yeah, good
which looked
that.
Like a decent... from where I was, I just thought he'd blasted it over the bar, but the replay showed that Ayling headed it away, didn't he? Yeah. So a couple of early chances might have changed the game a bit. Might have given us a bit more of a chance if we'd have got a goal at that point, but ultimately, you know...
And then we score from a corner, not quite a routine, but one that comes out to Alioski...
That's it, yeah. What can you do about that strike? Now, on the way back, I was listening to the radio and people were phoning in saying, oh, I should have closed that down. And I'm like, the ball fell as soon as it didn't even let it land, did it? It was straight on the volley.
Straight volley, yeah.
Yeah. The guys are scrambling out. Like, you watch it in real time. There is no way anyone's closing that down.
There's a lot, to be fair, it goes through... quite a lot of bodies as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it's close to Grabara, but I don't blame him particularly because
I might have if I was going to criticise anyone, it might be Grabara that his positioning was a bit because he was very central. Mm. He could see where the ball was coming down, but he obviously thought I'm going to stay in the middle of my goal.
It looked like one of those that on another day it would have taken a nick off someone and gone. Maybe it would have gone out for a corner or like it'd have gone in the back of the net the other way. Like I think the keeper's positioning like that, it's like the free kicks that go across the 6 yard box and that, like, as they go in and the keeper don't move because they don't know if it's going to get a nick. That's what it looked like, to be fair.
And on another day, it doesn't necessarily go in, but it was one of those where when it went in, it's like hands up. What can you do about that? It's a great strike.
Yeah. And I mean, 9 times out of 10, Alioski smacks him out of the stadium, to be fair. So probably be unfortunate. But yeah, he's a cult hero at Elland Road nowadays, and it's nice to see him contributing with a couple of goals already this season, given he's been moved back to left back for the past 12 months now. And he had a bit of a reputation for having a bit of a wild shot on him, as I say, so it's nice to see him. He's got two, maybe three goals this year, and nice to get one in a derby, particularly since he's been out of the team last couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, just to track back a bit, we've gone into the first half there and everything as well. Yeah. But on the selection front from Huddersfield, it was a real shock to see the bench filled with academy players.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Well, I mean, you could ask
who
me.
Who are
you
they?
You could ask me, but I wouldn't have a clue. Like, I'd only heard of a couple of them before. Well, including, obviously, reserve goalkeepers in there. But it's, Matty Daly, you know, he's meant to be a decent player. Obviously came on a bit in the second half as well. He should have scored, actually. A bit unlucky not to. Kieran Harrott, again, a young lad. I think he's from about where I live, actually. And he scored loads of goals for Huddersfield under 19s or the development team. So he's potentially going to be a great player. But you looked at the bench and it was like a scene from The Inbetweeners. Just seeing them all sat there, they're all just kids. And you thought to yourself, this is mental.
But would you rather have them or your £50 million bench?
No, I don't want the £50 million bench. You're right, because like, what's the point? What's the point? What's the point in having Benzema on the bench? He's never going to bring him on. He's never going to use him. He's useless. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to play for the club. So why have him there?
Yeah, I think it was
other than trying to sell him.
It's interesting that, because I think they said on Sky at least two or three of them have been recalled from loans that week to be on the bench.
Yeah,
so that suggests that.
Well, yeah, the centre back, the young lad, was he at Bromley? Because when Schindler went down, I think it was, he went and warmed up, and they were on about, he could have got thrown on after about, well, yeah, in the first half.
I think there was one who'd been at Concord. And
yeah, one of the lads had been at Concord, hadn't there? Was it Boston?
Yeah.
Another one was.
But
was
that says to me that he won't just bring them back just for that one game, that they're going to be the squad, in and around the squad, you'd imagine.
Yeah, we've got some really bad injuries at the moment. So obviously, Lewis O'Brien's missing, Terence Kongolo's missing as well. I wasn't sure if he was one that was whether there's a proper injury there or not, whether it's just he's kind of fallen out of favour a little bit. That's one that's up for debate, I think, amongst the fans. Kongolo's getting there's a lot of bad kind of like word of mouth, if you like, going round about him at the moment. But it's all just that. It's all hot air to a degree. No one knows for sure. I don't think Danny Cowley's going to come out and necessarily just. In fact, today is probably the first day he's actually mentioned those three and gone. Okay, Bockhorn and Benza and
Brown.
Reece Brown, yeah, are the ones that we're looking to offload. Don't want to start going on about them again, but that team that we put out against Leeds was outside of injuries. That was the bare bones. If ever a team was at bare bones, it's when you put five academy players on a bench or four academy players on a bench. So, but yeah, they all did well. The positives was that Karoma played. And they've kind of been feeding him into the team, and I thought he looked lively, looked pretty strong.
Yeah, he signed from Leighton Orient, so he's only ever played non-league.
Yeah, so he'd come from non-league too, so I think they've been working on his fitness and also his defensive duties as a kind of wing-back, a forward wide player.
Yeah.
Who has to double up back, and cover and what have you. So, Stankovic was good as well. I thought he had a decent game at the back as well. So, and Dehaney as well, who's not played a lot of football, really. I think that was only his second start for Huddersfield. He went in a right back and put in a decent performance. Quite difficult in the second half, as Leeds appear to be doubling up on the left.
Well, yeah, Valioski on the left too. He's basically a winger.
Yeah.
Playing as a left back / left wing back. And then Harrison, who plays as the left winger, but is expected to also cover at left back. And then they have Dallas, who he plays on the right wing for that game, but they basically tell him, just go where you think's best. They really appreciate that he's got a proper understanding of the game. He can play in 3, 4, 5 different positions, has done already this season. And they say to him, look, you're playing on the right, but if you think there's an opportunity to move over to the left and create an overload over there, go for it, we trust you. They had Aylin playing on the right-hand side of that back three anyway, who is a right-back. So they have that freedom to create overloads in certain positions if they want to. Hernandez is comfortable on either flank as well. So they do that, and then that's where the goal comes eventually, the second goal down the left-hand side.
Yeah. So I sit on that side of the pitch, and we looked exposed on that side, especially with the young lad.
Yeah, they probably recognised that.
He was really drifting it. He was drifting in very, like, tucking himself right in, so there was so much space. Jack Harrison was in front of us just waving his arms in the air the whole game, get the ball over here to me. It eventually, it happened, and you could just see it coming a mile off, and it was a team full of confidence who knew exactly how to counter-attack, one of the best counter-attacking teams in the Championship probably at the moment. And
yeah, definitely.
Just pulled it off and made it so look so easy.
Yeah, that's...
Does Hernandez get in there often at the back post with headers and things like that? Or is
not
that...
massively. It tends almost to be like Dallas or Ayling, who you see popping up there, rather than Hernandez. Hernandez, if we attack down the left, tends to tuck in quite a bit, almost becomes like tucks in to become a number 10. And who they can play the ball to, and Egan, and push it out wide again to whoever's bombing on down the right. But nice for him to get a goal. He's been back in the team recently, and no surprise that it's as he's come back into the team, they've won 6 in a row. He's obviously the key man in terms of creating chances for us. Although, that said, I mean, I talked about Roberts in the last time we recorded, who had been good. And then Harrison, it's been a revelation this season, the way he's improved from where he was last season, even where he was the first 6 weeks of this season, where he kept getting the ball but couldn't pick out a man. All of a sudden, he's just an assist machine. And if he's not getting assists, he's scoring goals.
His shots and crosses seem to be a lot better this season, don't
they? He's probably not someone who many other fans from around the league appreciate just how good he has been this year. But he's been, sort of since October, one of our top performers. And in a team where there's a lot of star players and a lot of players getting linked with Premier League moves, he's someone who's going under the radar, and I think Leeds are happy for him to stay that way. Staying under the radar, but getting important goals, getting important assists.
Yeah.
It's what we want.
There was a thing I thought with Leeds in particular, even though we were, in the first half, we were causing you through a few problems and there were some close shaves, the team never really looked intimidated by that in any way.
No.
They looked quite like they had so much faith in themselves almost that they'd be like, even if they conceded, they weren't going to panic about it.
I think they are fine until they concede.
Really?
And then the fear of, oh God, it's one of those games where we're going to get chances and not score, and they're going to score one of their only chances while they're keeping a clean sheet at the back. And Casilla has been in brilliant form sort of since the losing run ended, when they lost, when he had a couple of errors against Millwall, and Charlton has been in brilliant form. Ben White's the outstanding centre-back in the division.
Yeah,
I know Cooper didn't play this game, but the way he's improved under Bielsa, he's unrecognisable from the player he was beforehand. So there's confidence in that back line, and as long as they keep a clean sheet, or if they do concede, as long as they're far enough ahead, then they'll always have the confidence that they will be fine, because they know they're a team that creates chances at the other end. And now Bamford's got some kind of form. Harrison's scoring goals. Hernandez is back. Costa got a goal against Middlesbrough, which, fingers crossed, following an assist against Reading, will kickstart his Leeds career 3 or 4 months in. And I thought he looked better against Huddersfield as well. Not, I think, the player most Leeds fans expected we'd signed when we brought him in the summer. But he's making far bigger an impact on the team than maybe he was in the first few months.
What's the update on Casilla?
So he has, so obviously he was charged by the FA. He, as of last week, had filed all his sort of appeal grounds and what have you. So the FA have now gone away and they will deliberate on that, and they will either find him not guilty or they will find him guilty, which if they do means a minimum 6-game ban.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, if that happens over Christmas, that's when games come thick and fast.
Yeah, it's not ideal, and you don't really want to comment on it until the FA have deliberated on it. But if he is found guilty, then you have to wonder what the club will do and how the fans will react.
Well, you've got the French guy, haven't you, in
Meslier,
reserve.
who, interesting that he wasn't on the bench again this week because of
the
Clark back on the bench, which meant we had all our lone players in the squad again.
Right.
Now Nketiah is back as well from his issues.
I tell you what, though, you do get that when Bamford went off, and I didn't think Bamford particularly troubled us. I mean, Grabara had to make one decent save from him at one point. But when Nketiah comes on, you're a bit like, from an opposition fan perspective, you are just immediately like, oh, God. Because you just immediately see the pace and directness he's got. You know, I mean, I don't think he ever really had a chance to settle into the game, but there was definitely that feeling.
To be fair,
rumbling amongst the crowd, everyone was like, oh, this guy's the real deal, you know, we've got to be careful here.
It will be interesting to see how quickly he gets back up to speed, because obviously, in his absence, Bamford has found some form, and you would expect, as long as Bamford doesn't get injured, that he will be in the team pretty much all the way through this Christmas period now.
Mm.
And Nketiah, he's come on for the last 10, 15 minutes, his last couple of weeks, and not struggle to get involved, and to be fair, we've been comfortably ahead in both games, so it's not like we've been bombing forward trying to get chances for him like we have when he's come on in a lot of the games previously, when Bamford's missed all his chances and we're relying on Eddie to come on and get us a winner or an equaliser. But obviously I think his confidence has probably taken a hit after the injury he had and it seems to have been isn't particularly nice for anyone to go through, so
I don't know what your thoughts on this were, but I heard some stuff after about there was a bit of an... There was the idea that Huddersfield played for like fouls quite a lot and went down quite easy in the match. But I mean, I didn't really see it like that.
I don't necessarily. I think it was more they had a game plan to try and nick, to try and nick the ball off Leeds, so and Leeds would then foul them in the process of trying to get it back themselves.
Yeah.
I think they played.
Yeah.
Well, FIFA fair play, defending shouts. I think that worked for them. I think he was playing for set pieces. I don't necessarily think that they play for fouls. There's a suggestion I saw on Twitter during the game that apparently Cowley's Lincoln team had a reputation for their players staying down longer to try and, like, they tell their players to stay down so as to try and make the referees think that they're picking up serious injuries.
Oh, right, okay.
But I don't see how that benefits you if you then get a free kick and, like, one main targets is then off the field.
Especially when Huddersfield are usually losing. Yeah. So you don't want to waste time.
I mean, on this, actually, can I just say that I think Christopher Schindler, he picks up at least one serious head injury every game. Like, I mean, this is worrying. We need to get this guy a Petr Cech type head thing. It's not right. The guy's brain's going to be mush by the time he's 40.
Yeah. I mean,
he puts his head everywhere. That's the problem, right? But I mean, it's great at the same time from a football fan's perspective because you love it. But the amount of neck or head injuries he gets, I can guarantee you, once every game, he will be down for at least 5 minutes with a head injury.
Maybe that's where his confidence went when he didn't feel himself because he was completely at the confidence knocked out of him.
Yeah, he's probably he's had plenty of knocks. He had another one in the Leeds game, but there probably is a bit of game plan there.
Yeah,
but
I don't think it was.
We're not. I won't say we're like go down soft.
I
don't
think. I think it's a buying fouls thing. You see it though, don't you? Yeah. Like if there's a chance for you to win a free kick in a really good position,
League, right? That is it. And when you guys get there, it's so annoying. It's so annoying because the best Premier League teams do it for fun.
I remember Reading coming down to Valley Parade when they were a decent Championship team. It was an FA Cup quarter final. I remember Hal Robson-Kahn was the biggest, like, bulkiest footballer I have ever seen in my life. And I remember him, like, somebody breathed on him and he fell over, like, roaming around doing, like, Neymar rolls. And I'm like, you weigh about 18 stone. Like, he was huge. His arm was, like,
he's a big fella, isn't he?
He was just on the floor and I'm thinking, because I was sat somewhere different because it was cup, and I'm thinking, this is really weird. Like, he's right in front of me, just like on the floor, and he's huge. Like, get up. Like, how have you been pushed over?
I mean, Luke Ayling has gained a bit of notoriety at Leeds for if he's backed into his own corner, almost like starting to topple over.
Yeah.
And he like loses, and then as soon as anyone touches him, because he's so off balance, he can't help but fall over. Yeah. And he just wins so many fouls in where we're in a bad position like that.
Yeah.
But
it's part of the game, isn't it?
I don't think Huddersfield does anything like that. I think they know Leeds press hard. Mm-hmm. And so if you can just nick the ball away from them, you can.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have seen it in the game as well. And Bakuna was brilliant at just getting himself out of a situation in that match. There was one point where he tried to do it in a stupid position on the pitch. But most of the time, he just weaves it between his feet and he's away. So, I mean, he had a great game. And
I like his Huddersfield hair.
His Huddersfield hair, yeah. It's a blue and white hair, which is
it was yellow last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's usually yellow or blue. When he's been on international duty, he's on blue.
Don't let Graham Souness see it.
No.
Is your away kit yellow this year?
No, our away kit's just solid dark blue, like a really dark blue.
I think it's neon.
So last year it was a neon.
Cool. I didn't know if you dyed it yellow for when you play away and blue for when you play at home.
Oh, we've got what we have got is called coral. Third kit,
the
which
orange
is
one,
pinky orange.
Yeah.
I think it's horrendous.
We'll
but
just yeah.
So yeah, I thought it was quite nice to be get back into a West Yorkshire derby. Actually, I felt the atmosphere at the ground. I know you said it's our cup final, but we're really really bubbling at the start, and it's a good excuse to have a.
I heard what the PA had said before the game.
Right.
It was something like, welcome to the West Yorkshire Derby. For some reason, we haven't played this game for a couple of years, but I can't put my finger on why.
Yeah, just trying to make the most of the fact we've been up there, you know. But, you guys will get there soon, I'm sure.
Fingers crossed.
I don't think we actually have.
You'll wish you hadn't, though, when you got there. I tell you what, I think it'll be one of those where you just think, oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Because can be a bit of a curse as well.
I don't want to be in this league anymore, and I want to be back in the Premier League, but with our current squad, I'm dreading it already. So
yeah, you kind of need a bit of an overhaul. But
I mean, Bielsa's going to lure players in.
You would hope
somebody
so,
wants
yeah.
to play for Bielsa in the Premier League, man. Yeah.
Do you think Bielsa will stay if you get in the Premier League?
Oh, yeah. It's the only way he will stay.
Yeah.
The only way we're keeping him, only way we're keeping Phillips, only way we're keeping Radrizzani, only way we're getting all PSG's money. So, but no, yeah, Bielsa had, when he first joined, a 3-year, but sort of 1-year rolling contract, if that makes sense. Like you said, I'll come for 3 years, but I've got the option where I can.
But if I don't fancy it, I'll just sack it.
I can
it
walk
off,
away yeah. after. And they convinced him to stay for the second year, but there's no way they convinced him to stay for a third year unless they don't go up.
Mm. Right. Well, it's all or nothing then, isn't it?
This season literally is. Amazon should be filming us. Oh, we'll get the cameras back in again, and this time, yeah, this will be the one where it'll all go well.
Take me home.
It might be a curse, though, like. Just yeah. like Sunderland obviously did it, didn't they, and then got relegated.
Well, I'd love to see what's going on behind the scenes at Huddersfield
season. I don't even,
because
ignorance is bliss.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. But even when you know stuff's going on, and yeah. you're a bit like, you want to know what it is.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it would be like the Sunderland till I die one. There'd be like players, you know, coming on camera going, "I'm no interest in playing for this club" and all that, and slagging the manager off, and
it's
it would be great. It'd be
TV
great drama
if you're not a fan of the team.
Yes, yeah, it'd probably be equally depressing, but then everyone could get their like pitchforks out and start directing them at certain people who are to blame. But Amy, let's not forget about little old Bradford in League Two.
Yeah.
And your
we did
game against
win.
Newport.
Yeah, so I mean, it was, I've really been a bit like downbeat about it today, but we did actually beat Newport, and Newport are like a promotion contender.
Yeah, so you're downbeat about winning.
Yeah, but well, it was well, I sat and watched the first half of the Leeds Huddersfield game before I went, and like a bit of the second half, and that was a really good game. And then I sat down and watched Bradford City, and it wasn't a great game. I mean, to be fair, I'll take like grinding out wins, like happy. But I think it was last week we played 4-3-3. This week we played 3-5-2. Do you know, just to... I feel like he has this
Why
thing.
Has he not worked it out
I
yet, what he
I
wants
don't
to
understand.
Do?
Do you know how, like, you...
He won, how can you criticise him?
This
yeah,
is
that's
the
what
thing.
He'd say. He'd just
this
be like, we won, didn't we?
I said, when I was walking away from the ground, it kind of set in after, and I thought, oh, he's going to play 3-5-2 next week now, because we've just won playing it. But, like, I don't understand... So, a few weeks back, when we beat Carlisle, we played 4-4-2, and we had the two wingers that we'd just signed, Harry Pritchard and Dylan Connolly, and we were bloody brilliant. Like, we were just bombing down the wings, because we've got some really good attacking fullbacks, and we had the two wingers in front of them supporting them, like, building a bit of chemistry, creating absolutely tons of chances. And to be fair, Donaldson was playing then, and he was probably the man of the match for the way that he kind of pressed and worked the defence and tied them out. But since then, we've just not played this formation. I know Pritchard's been in and out of the team because he's been injured and he was ill a couple of times. But we had Pritchard and we had Donnelly on the bench, Connolly on the bench, and we were playing 3-5-2. And it was like, well, this is really weird. Like, why are we... Paddy O'Connor played.
Leeds legend.
Absolutely delighted with. He played in the centre of the back three. And the one thing that stands out, I mentioned Jake Reeves on the last podcast, who came back and he plays in the holding midfield. He started, he was amazing. He got man of the match, which is really nice because he's been out of football. I think he kind of fell out of love with it by kind of looking on it on paper, because he was getting injured. And when he came back to training, he got injured again. And he came back to training, like niggle, 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 niggle.
Right,
like
yeah.
What that must do to your head. You just must be like, just not happening for me. He was brilliant, but the thing is that we have Richard O'Donnell in net, who's a really good shot stopper, probably the best shot stopper like lower down the leagues, but he can't play out. And you know, he'll try, but like he'll take a touch and it's just so heavy, and you're like, oh days, like that's not what we need. So you have like Paddy O'Connor, who wants to play out, Jake Reeves in front of him, who wants to play out. Richard O'Donnell is like, I don't want to play out. Like, no. Anthony O'Connor on the other side of the back three was like a bit sometimes wants to play, sometimes don't, like wanting to hit diagonals, and you can see the frustration of like somebody like Paddy O'Connor and Jake Reeves and Callum Cook in midfield as well, that are like, just keep the ball, just play it simple and just keep the ball. So it feels like at the back they're on like different pages at times, which isn't great, but I did think...
Hey, listen, but yeah. if that could happen at Man City, then I'm guessing it can happen at Bradford.
Yeah, I mean, it's very weird because, like, in terms of the... So the goal we scored, we won 1-0, was Newport's defender passed back to the keeper. It was totally short. James Ford intercepted it, went around the keeper and got brought down, scored the penalty. So it's a very scruffy win. But after we scored, we were just peppering them. Made an unbelievable save, their goalkeeper, to stop Otis scoring. And he made another really good save when Powdy kind of got round the back from a corner or a free kick and was like one-on-one and he just smothered it. So, I mean, on another day with a less capable goalkeeper in their net, we've won 3-0. But we
this
haven't played...
doesn't sound that bad.
I know, but, like, I think it's frustrating in that you're watching this team and we've got the best squad in the league. We've got one of the best managers in the league. We've got one of the bloody biggest squads in the league. Like, it's huge.
Yeah.
And you've got this big stadium, you've got a great fan base, but you just feel like that we're not kind of fulfilling this potential in a way. Do you know, like,
you want to be playing like Leeds, basically, don't you?
Well, we want to play, everybody there wants to play attacking football, and we've got the players to do it, but we just don't seem to be playing the it's really strange. Like, it's a strange feeling of, okay, we've won, but it wasn't that great and we could probably be doing it better, that sort of thing.
Do you think the size of the squad is an issue as to why he's not 100% sure on his best team?
I think it's far too big,
yeah,
especially at this level. I was looking now, only one player has played every single game for this season, that's the goalkeeper. Like, everybody else is playing like bits and bats. Like, it's you don't know. We have two right backs. We've got a left back that we signed in the summer that we haven't even seen. Literally, he's not been in squads. We've got like four wingers. We have at least bloody 50 midfielders. Like, we started the season with three strikers. Owen Doyle, by the way, scored again at the weekend. So
of course he did.
Obviously. It just feels like it's too big. Like, it's very strange. But then I guess on the other hand, if your squad was too small, you're gonna complain. Like, it's, you feel like you're being fickle, but then at the same time you do feel like this group of players can be better if they all had like a more cohesive plan. And I feel it's a simple thing of, like, we're not really building chemistry on the pitch because the players aren't playing together often enough.
Yeah, that must be a thing, really, mustn't it? I mean,
do you know, like, when you play Football Manager, like, simpler, you have, like, your right back and your right winger, like, build a connection.
Yeah.
And your centre-backs build a connection. That kind of doesn't happen because they're not playing together all the time. Like, they're professional footballers. They're not dumb. Like, they can communicate and play well together, but it's a bit different.
Yeah, then it's something else, isn't it? It's not necessarily something you can train. It's just that kind of... They just get each other. They just get it.
It's like Leeds fully fit squad. You know that it's going to be Cooper and White. You know that Phillips is going to be in front of him. You know the keeper is. You know Bamford's up top. You know that stuff.
It's the antithesis of Bielsa. He wants as tight, as small a squad as he can possibly get away with. He says he doesn't like to have more than like 18, 19 senior players. As long as he believes that there's kids in the academy who are of an ability to step in and fill roles on the bench, then he doesn't want a massive squad. They kept asking him about centre-backs and defenders. They still keep asking him about depth at centre-back, and he's like, no, I've got Cooper, and I've got White, and then I've got Berardi, who I'm happy can fill in. I know Ayling can play there. Dallas can play everybody position on the pitch. It's like, he likes having this small squad, and that has been key as to how we've played over the last year or so, because we've got a team that's tight-knit. Everyone's built these relationships. You don't have to worry about who's going to be playing in certain positions week on week.
Yeah.
And then once you start winning, he won't change the team then unless he has to.
Yeah, if you've got enough utility men in the squad.
Like I say, Dallas has played every game this year, but I think he must have started in at least four or five different positions.
Wow.
And that means he everyone in that squad can build a relationship with him. It doesn't matter where he's going to play. And that then allows him to the freedom to move around the pitch, take up different roles within a game.
Yeah.
And I think he even more so than Harrison, has been one of the underrated stars of our season. And like you say, that's the antithesis of what Bradford seem to be doing, where they've just bulked this squad out massively because they're not 100% sure on anyone.
Yeah. I've just counted now, we've got like 26 first-team squad. We've got 3 right-backs. We've got... I can't even count that many midfielders. We've just got players that we've not even seen.
Have you got any left-footed players? Because we didn't play a single left-footed player on Saturday.
We've got one who's played 10 minutes this season, who we signed in the summer from Dunfermline. It was the Scottish Championship.
Do you reckon there was a point where they went, shit, we haven't got any left-footed players? Like, have a look in SPL, yeah.
He played like 100 and some games. He's only 24. He played like over 100 games in the Championship in Scotland,
right,
which has got to be like a similar level to League 2. Yeah. Like, and, you know, solid left-back, brought him in, and then the first game of the season we played a right-back at left-back, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? It's simple stuff like that that, like, when you look it on paper, there's probably, like, explanations for it, and if Boyer was like, right, yeah, the reason I played this team was that, but when you look it on paper, you think, what the hell is going on? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it keeps the opponents on their toes.
Mm. Yeah, because, like, how do you prepare for that
I mean, we've played 4-4-2, we've played 4-3-3, we've played 3-5-2, like, you're playing Bradford, you haven't got a clue what they're going to play and who they're going to play and what the system is. And
you just got to learn to enjoy it, I think. You know, you're probably going to have to accept that there's not going to be that, well, like, small group or
it's. I think
philosophy.
It's weird as well because I've watched us play higher up the football pyramid and have a lot smaller squad and that kind of thing. And it's very different and, like, it's just very bizarre.
Maybe as the season goes on, though, as well, like, when the other teams are starting to tire slightly, you're going to have a lot of fresh players.
Yeah, well, I'm interested to see what happens over Christmas, obviously, with a lot of games, like, in a good run.
Yeah.
In that we'll have, you know, these different formations and different players, and or we get these injuries, or we can tweak. I do think that part of the reason that we have tweaked a lot is because we have had injuries. And Boyer said at one point that it's the most injury-hit squad he's ever had. But, I mean, it didn't feel like injury hit for Bradford. It just must have just been injury hit for him.
Yeah.
So he is learning along that sense of it's a different scenario for him in having all these injuries and these problems and ways to overcome it. And he's opted to be like, right, okay, let's change shape. But no, it's very interesting to watch. And you have players that might be, especially if you're only going home games. If you go one home game and the best player on the pitch is, for example, Hope Akpan, he was in really good form at one point. He was scoring goals and it was like, I've never seen, because he used to just play as a holding midfielder and he played him a bit further forward, scoring loads of goals. And then we had like a couple of away games on the bounce, and then if you come back as a home fan, you're like, where the hell is Hope Akpan? Like, he wasn't, I don't think he played at the weekend actually. It was like, where is he? Like, he was amazing a few weeks back, and now he's not even, like, where is he?
Because
the squad's so big that he's leaving players out. Like,
it's like, I don't hate to bring it back to, keep bringing it back to Leeds, but you mentioned your bench on Saturday and it all being young kids. Leeds' bench was Barry Douglas, who's in his mid-20s, and then 4 members of the under-23 squad, 3 of whom had never made a first-team appearance.
Oh, right, so it's similar in a way.
Jack Clark, who's 19, and Eddie Nketiah, who's 20. And
you don't really make,
I suppose those are your two, aren't they?
I know it is different, but that just shows the depth that Bielsa has in his squad. It's not like we've got loads of players.
No.
But we've got enough to keep it, to have a steady senior 11, and then he knows he's got kids who he...
I don't suppose it's...
He don't make that many subs either, does he?
Not really, no.
So...
Although he's learning this season to start bringing centre-backs on in the last 10 minutes and stuff like that, which is what he didn't do last year.
Yeah.
I'm still not fully taken by, like, Danny Cowley's subs and the timing of them.
Yeah, our subs have been... Sometimes we've had, like, we've made a sub at, like, 60 minutes. I'm like, yes, this is half an hour to make an impact. So the sub must be a dream. And then sometimes we make our first sub in the 94th minute when we lose, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like,
yeah,
some very strange things.
But I think as well, with Huddersfield, it comes into a case of whether those players are on the bench and what their attitude has been like to being on the bench. Because sometimes you see, like, fairly senior players on the bench and you think, they might be on the bench for another reason, tactical reason. If they've taken that news badly, then he probably doesn't want to bring them on either, give them satisfaction of a bit of playing time.
Proving him wrong, scoring a goal.
I was just looking through, sorry to come back to Huddersfield out here, Amy, but like, I was just looking through some of the players that were missing on Saturday. So Kongolo was one, and then Chalabar has been out suspended as well for the headbutt. Diakabi was missing.
Yeah.
Pritchard, and Benza, obviously. Danny Simpson was out. He would have made a bit of difference if we'd have been able to have him at right back, because he's been decent since he signed. Fraser Campbell, again, another one that would have gone in there. Jada Brown was also missing as well. And Lewis O'Brien, Tommy Elphick. So that's quite a lot of players that were essentially a core part of the kind of winning run that we had had, that were missing from that game yesterday. However, that said, the change of tactics seemed to work in our favour at the same time as well. So even though you might have seen a few more of them, which might have shored things up a little bit more, even just slightly changing up the tactic, obviously sticking Steve Meunier up front, did make a bit of difference, gave Leeds something a bit different to think about.
Yeah,
I'm not sure trying to outplay Leeds with the football on the floor would have necessarily worked.
Yeah.
There was a long ball from both teams, though, in that first half. People like saying to me, like, I thought these were meant to be two like footballing sides, but Leeds were just hoiking in the air, and Town were just hoiking in the air. Leeds played quite direct, actually, in the first half. They really just like...
Bielsa's realised the error of his ways last year. That as much as it's good to play football, and we will try and play football, and we'll press and we'll run all day because he has them training all week non-stop, he realises to get out of this division sometimes you've got to be a bit pragmatic.
You've got to mix things up a bit.
Nowhere to go, just get rid of it and you'll get it back in a minute.
If you're
winning 1-0 with 10 minutes to go, chuck a centre half on for an attacking midfielder. You don't have to win every game 3-4-0, because last year they were trying to do that and ended up losing key games because they tried to do too much. And I think he's learned that in his division, as much as Leeds play good football and that will in theory get them out of the league, you don't have to do it for every minute of every game.
There's
times when you can do it and then you create goals.
And also,
like
it's all right. Yeah, it's all right playing it round and having the overlapping fullbacks and everything, but I think teams get quite settled into that in defending against it.
Yeah.
And I know Town tried this a lot, especially at the start of the season. We, you know, under Sievert, and it kind of followed on a bit from the kind of way that Wagner played in the Championship, but it was always that play it round at the back, then down the flank, then the fullback will overlap, put a cross in, and then someone will get on the end of it and score. But you can see teams just get quite settled into that. They know that you're not going to do anything through the middle. They don't really think. They're just comfortable. They'll soak it up. But then, like Leeds, you know, did in that first half, sometimes you pump that ball down the middle. You never know. Someone gets a knock on. Bamford knocks it on for someone else. Or a ball falls from a corner or something, or a set piece. And, you can just mix it up to kind of keep the opposition guessing a bit.
I think at the one of our problems at the weekend was we had our wing-backs. Just a sentence I never thought I'd say in a Brother City game. But our wing backs were, they had no one in front of them. This is the thing. So Connor Woody plays left back. He's one of those players that he's played as a winger at times, but he's kind of come through as a left back. And he's been a really good player this season. And he got down the left and he was kind of like, there's no one in front of me. Like, what do I do now? Like, and there's only so many times that your left back, who is trained to defend, not to take players on and do whatever, there's only so many times that your left back can beat their fullback and put a cross in. I think that's one of the main problems of playing a 3-5-2 was, especially because we had two very similar midfielders who would go and get the ball off the defence. We had two of them, very similar, where we could have played, like I say, a flat four. But I'm just looking now, we have 7 central midfielders on our books. 7, which is probably more than most Premier League teams. But I mean, to be fair to Bowie, I think we did sign a couple of like loanees and free agents and stuff when we were struggling with injuries. Chris Taylor played, in fact, no, we've got 8 central midfielders. Chris Taylor played, the signing that wasn't the signing. Oh, it was great. It was brilliant.
Was he good?
Yeah, I really enjoyed his. He played really well.
I like it. I always liked him as a player. Yeah. I thought, he was one of those players that he's definitely got it ability wise.
So yeah, we have now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Sorry, 7 central midfielders and one of them's injured. So we have 8 central midfielders in our books.
Yeah.
So we could play. We could probably play.
You've got plenty there then.
Play 11v11 in training all day.
Yeah. Should we have a look at what's coming up then?
Yes.
So on Tuesday, we've got Charlton. Is that right?
Yep.
Yep. So they haven't, I don't think they've won in the last 5 games.
Yeah, after a really good start.
Yeah, they've fallen away massively. It'll be Colin Grant against his old team. Might feel like he's got something to prove. I'm sure he's feeling a little bit hurt by the Leeds result. As that was his first West Yorkshire derby, and he looked up for it, and I think he a couple of chances which he might have usually taken fell away. So Danny Cowley seems to be saying that, I don't know if it's just playing the press, because I don't think he's always particularly honest, but he seems to be saying it'll be a similar group, similar kind of lineup to what it was against Leeds. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. I think that's again, next 2 matches for us are. We've got a win now. We've got to get some wins back on the board.
Have you got
the Leeds game was a win. So Wigan, is after that
at home or away?
Away.
Okay.
So they're not easy places to go necessarily, just because of their there's no attraction, or you might not get the adrenaline going away to Charlton or going away at Wigan, but they're 2 games where the pressure is probably the home supporters will be expecting something as well.
Yeah.
Which is good for us to go, because we can just hopefully we can go and grind something out. And
if we play
like we did started against Leeds, then we should be all over those teams.
Yeah,
we've certainly got, even though we're bringing in like kids playing, like young academy players. We proved against Leeds that there's players in this squad, and it is a decent sized squad that can still do something. And Carl, even with the players we've got out,
Carl is no fluke either. Like he's obviously got. He got the most out of not particularly great teams.
Yeah.
Like, he made the most out of what he's got. So I think if anybody's going to squeeze, like, the potential out of this team, then it's somebody like him, really, isn't it? So
yeah,
it'd be interesting
to
see how they set up away from home in 2 games that you would look at and think we need to win them.
I'll tell you what I would like to see, especially in these next 2 games, is someone else getting on the score sheet other than Grant, actually. Because I think we rely a little bit too much on him. Yeah, I mean, bearing in mind that he could well go in January, someone could swoop in with a really attractive offer and he's gone.
Yeah.
And we could be left with a team of players that, haven't really contributed on the goals front. So it'd be nice to see Meunier saying getting on the score sheet. Even some of the midfielders, obviously Pritchard, he's not scored goals. He was meant to be a an explosive midfielder who creates chances and scores goals, but he's not really doing any of that. He's got to be one. I mean, then you really, Fraser Campbell has got the odd goal for us
so far this season.
I reckon he'll be back fairly soon. So, yeah, he'll be back for either the Charlton match or the Wigan game. But, yeah, you need him in there, really, just to give some more options. But like I said before, Josh Caroma had a decent game as well. So we've got him, got Kachunga, all part of an attacking, 3 players, I suppose, or 3 or 4, with Meunier in there as well. So so some options, but let's see how it goes. Let's see how they line up. I think there were definitely positives to take from the Leeds match, and that bit of the squad depth and was one of those. Again, Stankovic has come in great since Elphick got injured, and he looked like Sergio Ramos, I thought, at times against Leeds. He was bringing the ball out, taking
note that
the
down
chest
for the end of the season.
That can go in the highlights reel. Jesus Christ.
No, I'm really happy for him, because he's definitely there was a point with Stankovic where I can't remember what game it was after, but he sat on the pitch, having not had played, being on the bench the whole game. And in front of the, I think it was an away game, can't remember which game it was, but he was sat in front of the away fans just on the pitch, and Danny Cowley had to come and put his arm around him, and he was clearly upset that he just wasn't getting a chance to play in the team. And since the injuries have come in, he's had a chance. First couple of games, he did look a bit sketchy, and then Danny Cowley moved him into a defensive midfield against Bristol, which didn't work.
when you conceded five goals.
Yeah, we conceded five goals. But then back as a centre-half against Leeds, and, you know, he wasn't to blame for any of the goals or anything. I thought he had a great game.
Yeah.
Handled Bamford well, so... Yeah, that's us. Who've Leeds got next up?
So we've got a couple of mid-table teams at home. Hull on Tuesday night, and then Cardiff on Saturday.
Jared Bowen.
Yeah, so... yeah.
He scored quite a few against you last season.
He scored at Elland Road. Hull beat us at Elland Road last year. Bowen scored. Might be able to score both. They beat us 2-0. Mm. Definitely scored one of them.
Hull City have had some shocking results
this season. Very, very odd team.
Yeah.
Because, like, Town thrashed them. That's the only team we've thrashed in a long time.
Barnsley beat them easy a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. But they're a bit of a...
But then...
I don't know how Bowen's still there. I don't know how somebody aren't coming. He's been linked to that many clubs. I don't understand how he's still there.
It wouldn't surprise me if he's gone in January.
Yeah.
So he'll probably sign off by getting a couple of goals against us. But no, they're two eminently winnable games. They are probably slightly tougher than the last couple, no disrespect to Huddersfield, but in terms of like league position.
Yeah.
But they are at home. And if we can win those two, we'll have won eight on the spin. We will be at least 8 points clear of the chasing pack. Forest are 10 points behind, do have a game in hand. So, I mean, it's technically you could say seven, but at the minute, 8 points clear of the chasing pack. So if we can win those games, we'll at least have that gap going into a Christmas period that sees us play Fulham away, West Brom away, Preston at home, who have gone off the boil recently, but are always a tough assignment.
So yeah, Hull beat Preston, didn't they? 4-0. Yeah.
So, I mean, I go in expecting two wins because I think we should be beating both these teams, to be realistic. But it wouldn't surprise me if we drop points in one of them, just... Which is might be what we need going into that slightly tougher run, is just a bit of a wake-up call, like, this isn't going to be easy now for the rest of the year. Just because you've moved a few points clear at the top of the table doesn't mean it's over.
Yeah, well, West Brom obviously came through, didn't they? Yeah. They played on Sunday, didn't they?
Yeah, beat Swansea 5-1.
5-1.
I don't care if they keep winning as long as we keep winning too.
Yeah.
I don't care if we go up in second place.
I mean, initially it looks like you two are kind of pulling up. Well, I know you're not pulling away in it yet, but there's 10 points between West Brom and Fulham, isn't there?
Yeah.
So there's a Fulham in third after just dropping 3 points in the last match is mad that, you know, that shows the form and the quality.
It does, yeah.
Teams,
and I went into November saying we really should be winning all of the games. Like, we had five games leading into Huddersfield. And to be honest, I thought we should win all those five, and we did.
Yeah.
Which then set us up to beat Huddersfield as well.
And so another thing about Leeds, and like I had to keep going on about it, but again, you've only conceded another clean sheet on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Only conceded 10 goals, so West Brom have conceded twice as many goals as Leeds, yeah, but are above you in the league.
That's ridiculous.
They
considering
score a lot more than us, though.
The back line you had, though, that was just all fullbacks, pretty much.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
It's what our success has been built on this year, because like I've gone on about umpteen times, we've missed so many chances. And fortunately, these last few weeks, we've started to put a few more of those chances away, which has meant there's slightly less pressure on the defence and not that worry that if we concede, that's it, it's all over because we're never going to score. There is I think they will, if they do fall behind in either of these two games, there might be a bit of mild panic goes on, because that's just how Leeds players get, in particular Elland Road, when all the fans suddenly think, here we go again. But yeah, I mean, we should take 6 points this week. If they take four, I wouldn't be massively surprised.
I mean, if you won six on the bounce now?
Won six on the bounce.
So, I mean, if you drop 2 points,
yeah,
you're probably due to drop points.
Yeah.
So, can't complain if you've won six on the bounce.
If we win on Tuesday against Hull, Bielsa will become only the second manager in our history to have won seven games in a row twice after Don Revie.
Bloody hell.
This really is a golden era then as a Leeds United fan, isn't it, really? Like, it's a golden period over two seasons.
In terms of results, obviously, you'd rather you were doing it in the top flight, not the second division, but in terms of results, it's the best I've ever known it, in terms of consistency of winning games.
Yeah.
Even when we were at the top of the Premier League and the Champions League, it never quite felt this almost like juggernauty in terms of win after win, and you're going into every game thinking, we should roll these over. We might miss a few chances, but we are so much better than this other team.
Yeah.
So in theory, we should beat them.
I mean, my dad's favourite Huddersfield season is still when they're in Division 4 and they won the league.
Yeah.
You know, it's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, maybe that helps a little bit. Well, I mean, I'd seen him in the top flight, but it was never an enjoyable experience.
Yeah.
And now I have seen him in the top flight, and it's still not an enjoyable experience. But I don't think that's necessarily coincided with it being the best time in the club's career, the club's lifetime.
Yeah. So I was probably a bit too young as well to properly appreciate the Champions League sort of days. It was like you had other things going on in your life that...
Well, I mean, it's been a while now, hasn't it? Yeah. But what is it, 17 seasons, is it?
2001, so this is 19 years.
God, it doesn't feel that long.
The 20th anniversary of the Champions League season next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're 20 years since we got promoted to Premier League.
Bradford got us into the Champions League because they beat Liverpool on the last day.
David Wetherill.
Is that true?
They beat Liverpool on the last day and we drew with West Ham, which meant we finished above Liverpool by a point.
Oh, my God. You two helping each other out. It's disgusting.
My highlights are still Division 4 as well, so, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, but you also got to a cup final.
And we're also back in Division 4. I think this is a bit why it feels a bit different this time, because I know we're back in League 2 for the first time since that season.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be like, oh, we should be playing Arsenal at home, we should be beating Aston Villa, we should be at Wembley twice this season.
Yeah.
Lot to live up to.
The funny thing is, if we'd gone up this season, for instance, it'd be such mixed emotions from the fans' perspective, because it was just that horrendous in the Premier League.
Well, I mean, when we were nearly getting promoted from League One a few years back, even then I was like, I don't know if we can cut it in the Championship with clubs that, like, this is when people were spending millions on bang average players. I mean, obviously they still do, but you're like, we can't compete with them, like, buying whoever for £6 million.
Are there any transfer rumblings from Leeds?
Outgoings than in. Obviously, there's interest in White from Premier League clubs. Brighton don't have a callback option on him, but obviously, if they sell him, that sort of negates all that. Liverpool are at every game at the minute.
We were just saying this before we started recording. Yeah. Like, I feel like if somebody was to buy him, though, they would loan him back
possibly
to Leeds,
you'd
where
hope
he's settled
so.
And playing every week and all that. So
Man United have been linked. So there's no danger of him going back to Brighton, but there is the danger of someone coming in over Brighton's heads and taking him.
Yeah.
Nketiah, there is a callback option for Arsenal, and the fact he's still not in the team.
So I guess that's probably subject to whoever their manager...
Yeah. I imagine so. Whoever
the next manager is.
You might want to loan him out to somebody else and get him
more
playing time.
I mean, there's pretty much every other Championship club will be interested in taking him on loan, I think.
You can have him when Grant goes.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to want to go to.
He won't have to move far. He'll just stay where he is.
Go
down the road.
Well, similarly, you know, Leeds might be interested in Grant, might they? It'd be a taboo, really, to sign him from. But
and then
that's a no.
And then Clark. It seems like he's going to go back to Tottenham just because he's not playing for us, and I think they will send him somewhere
else
on loan.
That's a strange one. Yeah, they should do. They should do.
And then there's been rumours that they might, if Nketiah goes, they might go for Brewster from Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
Because Klopp's pretty much said that he's happy for him to go out on loan second half of the season because he's not going to get in their team.
Especially to go into a successful side. You know,
so, I mean, if Nketiah goes and we get Brewster, it's not the end of the world. But
you'd
say that's just very much... low rumours at the minute. I think they're going to wait. I don't think they're getting any hint either way from Arsenal yet as to what's going to happen with Nketiah. So
right.
I suppose it's good they got to wait till they get the manager in as well.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the only transfers I've heard about, Danny Cowley has said that, you know, that they are actively searching to bring players in from League 1 and League 2. But
you could take some of ours if you want.
Well, how would we know which are any good? You know, because... They've only played a couple of games each, haven't they?
Bloody hell.
But yeah, Tommy Smith, I don't know if you remember him, he was used to be Ipswich Town centre back. He's at Colorado Rapids at the moment.
Jesus.
But he's still only 29 years old, got quite a bit of experience in a Championship. So I'm guessing that's a bit of an Elphick type backup as well. And maybe we're feeling a bit like, because I guess after that, we haven't really got anyone else to put in. Other than those academy boys that are coming in to help bolster the squad a bit. And the players going out look like, well, hopefully it'll be Mbenza will be off somewhere if someone will have him.
Red Star.
Yeah, Bockhorn, and Reece Brown as well, who's barely featured since he signed for Huddersfield. I'm not sure what has gone on there, but it's clearly like some kind of problem with his attitude or something. He's a young lad who was meant to be potentially a decent player, and he hasn't seen light of day in the Huddersfield team. So something has clearly gone on behind the scenes. Again, hate to keep going on about it, but 23 years old, from Forest Green we got him. So he played 78 games for them, scored 13 goals.
There'll be quite a few people that want him.
I think pretty much going off from what I've heard about him from people who saw him play for Forest Green, pretty much any League One and League Two club would want him.
Yeah.
If he's available. So I think he probably isn't one you'll have difficulty getting rid of the three.
Because it'd be good to cut some of the chaff from the team, and just like you said before about having a lean squad, get all those players who are, you know, on the same page.
It's like dressing room atmosphere as well though, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely. What about Bradford, anything?
I haven't heard anything. I'm not surprised because...
I mean, you don't need any.
No, I mean, if we could get some players out, like in terms of, even if it's like a couple of people out on loan or whatever. I mean, I'd take Owen Doyle back.
I'd take Aaron Moy back as well, but I'm guessing that's not going to happen either, is it?
I read the other day that it sounds like Owen Doyle will be... he thinks he's staying at Swindon all season. On the flip side, Dylan Connolly, who is on loan from Wimbledon, it sounds like he's staying at Bradford for the whole season, which is good. Really good winger, so that's good. I mean, for us, if we can... We've got quite a few players on loan, so if we could nail down a couple of them on actual permanent deals, that'd probably be good January business for us.
Yeah.
I don't know about Ben Richards Everton, who committed that ridiculous foul penalty.
Yeah, yeah, great.
Against Macclesfield. He was dropped completely from the squad this weekend off the back of that. Sound like injury or anything like that. I love that kind of management. You've done something stupid, so
yeah. Let's watch it back in slow motion. But what were you thinking?
What could be interesting is if that's just 1 week or if he's in the squad this weekend. We haven't got a game on Tuesday, so we play Leighton Orient on Saturday. So it'd be interesting to see if he's included in the squad. I'm not saying that he's going to sell him because he committed that foul, but it'd be interesting to see what happens with him because we had three centre-backs playing, obviously, and we didn't actually have really anybody on the bench if any of them got injured. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there. But
That's a win, isn't it? Leighton Orient. Oh, yeah.
You'd hope so, but Macclesfield should have been a win, realistically. Mm. The thing is, we have really good form. We were unbeaten in five, and then we'd lost like one of his last eight games, and then the last five games we played in the league, we've been very patchy. Like, I think a couple of wins, a couple of defeats and a draw. So having won at the weekend, it'd be nice to get a win this weekend in a really winnable game. And then we've got Carlisle, Salford, Mansfield, Morecambe. Like, pretty, you know, decent games to have with a massive squad over Christmas. Hopefully we build a bit of momentum again because it's really tight in the league. So top of the table, Swindon, obviously. 39 points, second 36, third 35, and then three teams including us on 34. So we've got a game in hand. So if we win our game in hand, basically we're second. So it's really tight.
That bodes well, though.
League Two is always like, though. Like, I remember when we got promoted last time, we didn't win a game from when we beat Arsenal at the beginning of December in the Cup to then when we lost to Swansea in the League Cup final. It was like 3 months. We didn't win a game in the league. And then after we'd lost the League Cup final, we just won and won and won and won and won. And we went from like 14th or something, snuck into the playoffs on like the last day and then got promoted. So it's literally you put a run together and you just shoot up the table. It's really weird. Like when we didn't play the other week because Macclesfield got postponed, like we dropped so many places because we'd not played. because it's so tight. So yeah, put a run together and it'd be nice. Especially, like off. I say, we with the squad we've got, like for all the moaning I've done of it's too big, but with the squad we've got, we should have an edge over every team in the league, especially at Christmas.
You just gotta think, you have to take it as it comes, and like you say, with it being so tight as well, it could just slip away from you at the end of the season if you don't get into those automatic places.
It'd be interesting to see what happened if we didn't get into we should get into the playoffs, but if we didn't get promoted, considering the size of the squad and the quality of some of the players in the squad. So it's quite an interesting
So let's have a look at the Love Triangle league table very quickly. So Leeds are obviously top of it now, 20 games and 43 points, with a goal difference of 20.
Running away with this one as well.
Which, considering we've only conceded 10 goals,
exactly. It could be better, yeah. There's like teams that are mid-table in the Championship who've scored as many goals as you have, but you just don't concede any. So Bradford City in second, you've got a game in hand on Leeds, but you've played 19 and you've got 34 points, so you wouldn't even be able to catch them anyway, but you're close.
Wait till they fall away.
Which is more than can be said for Huddersfield, who now sit in 21st place in the Championship but are in third in the Love Triangle league table with 20 games and 18 points. So we're really going through a bad patch again at the moment. And
Christmas is a good place to pick
up
form.
We could have done without Middlesbrough.
A couple of results at the weekend as well really went against us, and we shifted. I think after the Leeds game, we were still up in 18th or something. And then after Middlesbrough won, and I think Luton won.
I think.
Oh, no. Did they? Yeah, Luton won. Yeah, Middlesbrough won. But they were playing Wigan, weren't they, I think? Yeah. Luton, so it was a bit like, whatever. But 20 games and 18 points. So come on, town.
Premier League
next
format.
Next couple of matches. let's push on. Thanks for listening. And check us out again soon. Bye-bye.